Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Tony Pialis. Tony has extensive experience as an entrepreneur in the semiconductor industry, having co-founded three semiconductor IP companies exclusively targeting connectivity IP. Tony is currently the CEO of AlphaWave IP, a leader in delivering multi-standard wireline IP for AI, data center, and 5G networks. Welcome to the podcast, Tony.
Dan, it's great to be back. I always enjoy these sessions with you, so I'm looking forward to it today.
Yeah, this is our third time. So, you know, last time we talked about AlphaWave IP and connecting to the digital world. This time I'd like to talk about the acquisitions of Banya Labs and Open 5.
Yeah, I'd love to, Dan. Want me to give you some background as to what the motivation is behind these acquisitions and what we're looking to do with them?
Yeah, can you give us some background and you know, how did you learn about Banya Labs and Open 5, and why were they on your list for acquisition?
Perfect. Yeah, so let's start with Open 5. That was the second acquisition we did post-IPO. The first was a small IP company in Canada. So Open 5 was and has been a ASIC partner of ours for years. There were a bunch of programs that we were working on together. There were even more programs that we had bid on together. So, and given that team's roots, going all the way back to OpenSilicon and my roots going back to Snowbush, you know, some of the core members of that team I've known for almost 25 years. So you know, we were very well known to each other. The teams had been working together. We had experience working together. And look, going into the IPO, I had built a plan of possible areas to invest and deploy funds. And look, given the inevitable disaggregation of semiconductors into chiplets, you know, my view was we needed to be in chiplets, and to be in that space, I needed silicon operations capability, right? I needed a way to not only design interfaces, but to also manufacture chiplets and to assemble them in 2.5 and 3D packaging. And for me to try to organically grow this capability, Dan, it would easily have taken 2 to 3 years, all right? But with Open 5, who at that time was sitting within a IP company called Sci-5, by bringing in their silicon operations capability, by bringing in their ASIC customers who very much need the type of IP that AlphaWave develops and licenses, and merging these together to really deliver the next generation of ASIC capability, which is no longer a single die in a single package, but rather it's a multitude of dies manufactured in different processes. Some of them we can build and manufacture. Some of them our customer can build and manufacture. And then we supply all the chiplet interfaces and we design the package for them and integrate them into a single packaged product. And so, you know, that's been the motivation. It's really resounded with the customers that we've spoken to since the deal closed on September 1st. And I'm really excited about the capabilities that brings to help accelerate the growth of our custom silicon business. Now, Banya is a little different, where it's not custom silicon and it's not really related to chiplets, but it is very much related to silicon. So another trend in connectivity is the inevitable expansion of optics in high performance connectivity, all right? And so look, I'm old enough to remember late 90s where, you know, talk of optics led to a plethora of companies focused on that space, and many of them didn't survive early into the 2000s. And the reason being, there wasn't a killer app per se that needed the bandwidth and the performance that optics delivered. The difference now is we do have that killer app, right? We're in the midst of an exponential data period where data is increasing non-linearly at an exponential rate. And it's not driven by humans. Rather, it's driven by sensors and video and industrial automation that's generating more data than we know how to manage. And so this is what's driving rapid deployment of AI and next generation compute. And all this increased compute power needs high performance connectivity. And copper, it just consumes too much power to deliver the exponential bandwidth to be able to support this data. And so the value of optics is really it's really about getting your arms around that bandwidth increase. So faster connectivity rates at a lower power metric. And so Banias is an Israeli startup, or was an Israeli startup, focused on high performance optical connectivity for data center. We got to know them because they're DSP and silicon experts, but they did not have a analog design capability for the optical front end. And so they needed to work with optical experts and front end experts. And that's how we got to know them. Through the relationship that we had built over a year and a half, and through some common customers that we had, moving from a partner to an acquirer just made logical sense. And so that deal came together within a month of closing the OpenFive deal. So it's been a busy period for us this year with three acquisitions, and the year's still not done yet.
That's incredible. Yeah. I know OpenFive and OpenSilicon, they've been SemiWiki partners since the very beginning. It's a great company. So I get that acquisition for sure, and Banias Labs. I've heard a little bit about them, and that brings me to my next question. How do these acquisitions fit AlphaWave's long-term strategy?
It's a great question, and hopefully we will conclusively communicate this at our Capital Markets Day scheduled in early January. But what I can tell you, so giving you a little bit of a sneak preview, is that our commitment is in delivering high performance connectivity. And it started off as silicon IP, and silicon IP plays a significant portion of what our business will be in the future. But whether that connectivity is integrated on someone else's silicon that they build, whether it's integrated on silicon that we build in our ASIC business and sell to others, or whether it's in our own optoelectronic silicon. The common thread you will see with AlphaWave is this maniacal focus on delivering the world's highest performance, lowest power connectivity solutions. But it's not contained or constrained to only be through silicon IP.
What industry needs can AlphaWave now address better or couldn't before with the acquisitions?
Sure. So look, I've been in semiconductor IP for over 20 years. There's a lot of programs, whether it's hyperscalers, whether it's systems houses, where they use ASIC partners. And in the past, my go-to market strategy on these opportunities is always to partner up with a separate ASIC partner. And you know what? That is a tough sell against a Broadcom or a Marvell, which has ASIC capability and a full connectivity portfolio in-house. And so with OpenFive, I can go after those opportunities now with the same vertical integration as a Broadcom. With our own specific focus on leading next generation chiplet-based designs. Okay, I'm a huge believer on chiplets. The raw economics just make it essential. I mean, Dan, what if I were to tell you on a full reticle in 5 nanometer, you may only be able to yield 5 to 10 parts, right? You know, given wafer prices, that brings the price of a single die to be, you know, double digit thousands. It's not supportable. It's not scalable. So we have to go to chiplets. It's inevitable. And so again, with OpenFive, it allows us to really target this evolution in data center compute and connectivity. And then with Banias, it's about, where does my job end? Does my job end bringing connectivity to the ball of the device or to the bump of the device? Or does my job end when the data has completed its journey, you know, onto the other device that it's communicating with? And so I think in order for me to solve the connectivity problem, I needed to go beyond the ball or the bump, which means getting into the inevitable optoelectronics, which will transmit the data and provide a seamless solution that includes both the portion to be integrated on the compute device, as well as the portion that ultimately drives the optical fiber that carries this data.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you about chiplets, by the way. You know, I first said chiplets was cheating because, you know, we've been working our whole careers building these massive chips. and now we can just, you know, go to Home Depot and get chiplets and assemble them, you know, in much more cost effectively and quicker and easily. And I think chiplets will be, dominant in the near future. So I definitely get that strategy. You know, one question is about company culture. So how did the company culture adapt to the expansion of AlphaWave following these acquisitions?
So I'm a Canadian, but with a lot of American friends. And so, from an immigration perspective, you know, our countries accept immigrants, and really, I think our cumulative culture in the U.S. or in Canada is one built on that immigration strategy, right? It's really a mosaic or a melting pot of all these other subcultures that have come together. Well, for AlphaWave, we started 2022 at 150 people. And we're going to wrap up 2022 at 750 people. So I think that original culture of AlphaWave is now in the minority. And so it's interesting. It's like starting a company anew, where I get to reestablish a new culture, right? One that carries the same core values that I've been a massive proponent of from day one, which is about, you know, technology leadership, being at the forefront of new technologies and interface types, you know, really an engineering first type of mentality, and one where, you know, we never sacrifice our integrity or the integrity of our customers. And so I get to bring these core values in, but build a new culture given the, you know, the rapid growth in the people. And the diversity of the people, because last year, you know, the only two countries that we had teams in was Canada and the U.S. And now we've expanded beyond that to the U.K. We've expanded into Israel. We've expanded into Taiwan. We've expanded into Korea. So we've grown very rapidly and the integration is still underway and will easily continue through 2023 as we build a new company reflects the diversity of where the people have come from.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I was born and raised in California here in Silicon Valley, and that's one of the strengths of Silicon Valley is the diversity. I mean, we wouldn't be Silicon Valley without it. So it sounds like you're following in the same path. But how will you now measure the success with the addition of new business opportunities and expanded portfolio, you know, how are you going to change the metrics of your company?
Excellent question. I'm preparing for my upcoming board meeting to walk my board through our plans, and you know, it's an extremely relevant topic. Look, as a public company, you know, the ultimate measure of success is shareholder price, which is driven by earnings, which is driven by gross margins, revenue, bookings. And so, you know, those are clearly tangible KPIs that we have already set expectations with the market, and we'll refresh the investment community and the business community at our Capital Markets Day in January. So that to me is you know, one set of targets. But then there's beyond that, there's other intangibles, right? One is integration, reorganizing ourselves and being able to reorganize ourselves in 2023 to benefit from the scale that we've rapidly assembled, right? You know, leveraging the strengths of the different pieces that are coming together, whether it's the underlying IP components or the silicon capability or the tight integration of electronics with optics. And so that's going to be another measure that I'll be monitoring, as well as being able to bring my optoelectronics to market and doing so in 2023 and really establishing ourselves as not just a leading silicon IP provider, but also a leading provider of silicon stamped with the AlphaWave brand and the AlphaWave logo.
That's great. Yeah, you know, now that we're going back live, you know, Silicon Valley has really opened up. All the events are live now. In fact, I see you at all the events. You know, I just saw you at the TSMC symposium. And that's one of the things I admire about AlphaWave, Tony, is you guys really show up. So I'm guessing 2023 is even going to be a more travel year for you, a bigger, you know, live events for you. I mean, are you changing your strategy? You're going to still stay live in front of the customers?
I'm trying to do it as much as possible. Dan, what if I were to tell you I've been on the road the last 8 weeks straight, and I've got about another three in front of me. So, yeah, I'm fully leveraging the return to travel that we're in right now. I'm hoping to reach a little bit more of a steady state early next year. But yeah, look, as a CEO, I acknowledge and embrace that you know, I am the one of the key faces for the company, and you know, I founded this on my own with my partners. We founded it with our own money. We didn't bring in any VC money, and so customers, you know, have gotten to know and trust us, and it's important that they continue to see my personal activity and my personal commitment to the business.
That's good to hear. Yeah, I hope to see you again soon. So I'll see you next year, and happy holiday, Tony.
Thanks, Dan. As always, it's a pleasure. Have yourself a wonderful holiday, and look forward to speaking with you again soon, both in person as well as with your podcast.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.